o'clock. Still in the first set of this final. Overcast day, muggy. And the serve, short serve centre of the box. The forehand back to the feet, the forehand up the line from Djokovic. The backhand spin on that ball. Lofted loose and it's game point. Courtney, welcome. Busy day for you so far.
It has been surprisingly busy. Busier than we thought. Women's doubles final went to a full three sets and had to do a little bit of cleanup there. But happy to finally be able to get entrenched in this one. This little match.
Yeah. Small affair.
Yeah. The follow-up.
Yeah.
The epilogue to the women's doubles final.
It's the dessert to the Shea Sue Palooza.
Could be a long dessert. Point for four all. Serve down the tee. Snatch back through the middle. Djokovic comes forward. Doesn't need to come forward anymore because the 1-2 punch finishes it off. You've been outside more recently than this. What are the conditions feeling like right now?
Yes, it is absolutely muggy. And it just feels, even walking in this morning, speaking to a few reporters, that it just, as the local French were saying, it feels like it's going to burst. That there's just so much moisture in the air that it just feels like at some point it's gonna start coming down. We do see the clouds. It is overcast. But these are tough. Tough conditions.
That next time it's going to happen.
It's time. It's bouncing.
Next time it's happening. So don't put pressure. I do my job.
So Damien Dumas was saying, don't put pressure on me. I'm doing my job. But it's twice already. And if he does it again, he will get done.
So that's the shot clock and Djokovic taking just a little bit too much time.
He's a real play by the rules, isn't he, Casper? He's one of those. I think you find. He's one of those. Excuse me. Forehand cross court to the down the line and wide for Rude. But the thing is about that corner, he might have just unsettled himself in his own rhythm by going forward and saying that.
Yeah, a little bit of as Novak Djokovic takes a little bit of time at the baseline, bending over, kind of looking at his right shin.
Yes, we've seen this in a couple of his earlier matches here at Roland Garros, just flexing the leg a little bit. We'll keep an eye on that. His movement seems to be absolutely fine.
Ball girl scurries across, gets the loose ball. Casper just swivels around, takes the first ball offered to him, and he's ready to go again. Djokovic is creeping a bit further forward. Djokovic will play the backhand spin off the return centre of the court. Inside in. Oh, that had some frustration, didn't it, from Rude? Very deep from Djokovic. Oh, he's thundering these forehands. Then he cushions the volley, but he nets it on the slide coming forward because it was a nice dipping ball from Djokovic.
Those were a pair of massive forehands from Casper Rude, really leaning into it. Has to do that. Taking it to the Djokovic forehand side, and thought that Djokovic forehand was perfectly deep. Looked almost long. It was that deep.
He's really chatting to his box, isn't he, Rude?
He's definitely a little bit unsettled, like you said, Jeej.
He's an on-time person, is he? If he says 2 o'clock, he's there 2 o'clock. He's not there at 2:05. So he's trying to settle himself with... You've got 25 seconds. You get it away within 25 seconds.
Well, and also it's just a sign of perhaps thinking of things other than what he's got to do with this serve right here. It's a slight sign of, I think, mild distraction.
It's love 30. Inside in goes Rude. Rude spins that ball, sits up short though. Djokovic can attack with the forehand. The lob is up. I think Djokovic will wisely let this one bounce, and he does. Still going to hit it high though. Plays it short, middle of the court. The backhand cross court from Rude. The backhand cross. It's a big point, this 4-all and love 30. Backhand down the line. He's missed it. Djokovic has missed it.
He just almost fell over. He didn't literally fall over, but he fell over forwards after hitting that shot.
Yeah, definitely off balance. And you know, much of this fortnight has been about, on some levels, trying to speculate as to what is going on with Novak's body. Is he feeling great? What hurts? How much does it hurt? When does it hurt?
I always think that Djokovic is the stuff that we speculate on, the stuff that we see on court that actually probably isn't a concern, and it's the stuff that we don't know about which might be a concern.
Precisely.
Hold on. Lizzie really wants to know, Courtney, did you get the answer to the Lego question?
I did.
Oh, you did? We got a Lego answer.
I also want to know that.
Okay, so at the end of this game, Marcus is here. We're going to get the answer to the Lego question. I love that.
I keep my promises on my own time, on my own terms, but I do keep my promises.
I love that. 54 minutes played, grey skies, humid conditions, serve that thunders off the top of the net, and Rude's just, generally, his demeanor is just quite annoyed at the moment. 30 all. Second serve, 4 all, first set. Second serve, out wide. Forehand comes back deep to the forehand that drops short for Djokovic. Go inside out with the score into the middle of the court. The spin on that from Rude. Brought down inside in from Djokovic. Cross court cut with a spin from Rude, who spins up his backhand. And the backhand flattened cross court from Djokovic. And it's spun cross court. And it's redirect down line from Djokovic. And it's cross court from Rude. And it's forehand up the line. And it's sliced. He's looking to cut the slice short, drop it over the net. He finds the net and it's break point Djokovic.
It just feels like a few panicky shots from Casper Ruud in this game. Both that duffed sliding volley that he had when he set up that point so well early in the game, and then now here, was right there in the rally with Novak, and just it seemed like he just lost his nerve, went for that slice when it was not there, made a mess of it.
Break point for 5-4. Ruud misses the first serve, going heavy down the tee. Three ball boys come forward for that one. The one at the net wins. Djokovic comes up to the baseline saying, I'm going to put a little bit of pressure on this second serve. How are you feeling? Second serve kicks up to the backhand cross court and short. And the slice from Ruud and the backhand flat scooped cross court from Djokovic. Djokovic with his backhand is onto the line from Ruud, who goes inside out. He wants the air off the Djokovic side. Then he goes back to the Djokovic backhand. They're going wider and wider. The slice down to the Djokovic inside out forehand. The slice to the backhand from Ruud. It's break point Djokovic for 5-4. It's a heavy ball that sits up. It's back down the line on the forehand. Into the corner goes Ruud. Ruud on the forehand. Cross court and wide goes Djokovic. Djokovic leaning over again and just stopping himself briefly, isn't he?
He looks like a man who's trying to play a Grand Slam in these muggy conditions. It looks like it's hard to get some air into the lungs, which it is. It was not a pleasant walk to sight today.
No, it's like he's playing almost through a fog.
Yeah, exactly or right.
Playing in treacle.
Juice. Ruud reaches up and thunders off the top of the net. And Djokovic can be quite dramatic, but very much they're heaving and pulling at his shirt and leaning forward. As we say, if walking to sight was bad enough, can you imagine running around for now 56 minutes as Djokovic plays the forehand off the return? The backhand is swung across. That was so deep from me. Djokovic has fallen over. It was quite a dramatic tumble. Rolls onto his back. Think he's okay. Ruud waits to check he's okay. Djokovic is going to come and sweep off the clay that is covering his body. I think he needs a bottle of water and just to cover himself in it in a towel.
Yeah, that is a lot of clay.
He needs to be dusted down.
He's putting his head in the freezer.
Well, I think he's taking a moment to just towel down and perhaps cool himself down while he's there. Trying to, I think, perhaps get the towel a little damp to try and pick up some of the clay.
And it's an opportunity just to stick his head in the freezer.
It was a little respite, I think, as well. He's still got quite a lot of clay all over his back and shoulders.
No harm done with a hot fall, which is the main thing. Game point Ruud for 5-4. Deep serve, backhand in play. The inside, it was so quick from Ruud, who comes forward, doesn't let the ball bounce, goes into the corner. Djokovic slides into it. It's not high enough. It's smashed away. And Ruud roars, and the box are on their feet. And Ruud's like, yeah, I got the advantage. You had to save a break point opportunity there. Djokovic still covered in clay. He'll sit down and get some of that clay off. The ice towels will be put back on. And Courtney can tell us about the Lego question and answer.
I did. I finally, for those who are just tuning in to our Radio Roland Garros coverage over the fortnight, I told everybody that I would ask Iga about the progress of her Lego Coliseum.
Which she got for her birthday.
Which she got
in
for
the
her
week.
Birthday, exactly, for her 22nd birthday. It was a gift from her team. If you haven't seen this thing, it's absolutely massive. You can Google it. It's like a 600 euro set.
Wow.
Lego set.
Oh, wow.
I thought you were going to say 600 pieces.
I was like, that's not big. I was about to think, I'm not sure that's that big.
As we've established, Gigi is, by proxy, a Lego expert, given your
she's a Lego empress, really.
I think expert's a strong word.
Empress of all. Anyways, so I did. I asked her yesterday after the final in conversation, hey, have you done that yet? She's like, oh, God, no. I was like, why not? She's like, that thing's 11 kilos. Like, I can't.
Kilos of Lego.
She's like, I can't. If I open it here, how am I going to get that home? That was precisely what we were wondering.
Yep. That's the concern, isn't it? You lose one corner piece. Not that the Colosseum has corners, but you know what I mean.
You really picked the wrong piece for the Colosseum, didn't you? Of all the pieces you could have gone for.
Arches, cornerstones, but no, we went corners, didn't we?
We did go corners, and we're going to regret it for the rest of our natural life.
But no, yeah, so she has not started working on the Lego Colosseum yet.
Sensible.
She's just been watching Ted Lasso. She finished watching Madam Secretary. She finished her Leonardo da Vinci biography. And she is 10 pages, as of last night, which I suspect she's now done with it. She's 10 pages from finishing East of Eden.
She's presumably reading the biography of Leonardo da Vinci, not just sort of tapping it out on her laptop in between games.
You know what? She's built different. I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
She loves doing a book report. She gave me a whole East of Eden book report while we were in conversation, which completely derailed my 10 minutes I was supposed to be spending with her. I was like, well, there went 5 minutes. Can't even ask you about Wimbledon, can I?
4-5.
Maybe that's a very smart,
I was gonna say,
smart play.
Run the clock.
Iga.
Run the clock.
Djokovic serving to stay in the set. Rude goes drop shot because he saw the stumble from Djokovic. Djokovic gets to it. Rude sticks the ball up. That's quite wise. Djokovic lands behind him. He flips it up and slides to a stop, and the ball's not going to land in. In terms of Star Watch, so far we brought you Mike Tyson, Kylian Mbappe, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and I can add to that list Olivier Giroud.
And Marcus Buckland.
Of celebrities.
Oh, sorry, I misheard you.
Yes, sorry. Yes. What did you think I said?
Anyway, love 15 on the Djokovic serve.
Getting punchy.
Marcus is in for set two.
The crowd is booing you. Yeah, the crowd is booing you.
And the set two could be here very soon if this carries on like this. And then, I'm leaving you with Marcus. There's a corner of Philippe Chatrier with the sun just burning through these thick clouds. He's got to get a warning soon. I know that was the second serve, so there's no shot clock on the second, but he keeps up the first. He goes drop shot. Scooped up by Rude, picked up by Djokovic. Rude scampers back, goes for the tweener. The pat down from Djokovic. Rude scampers to it, gets it over. Oh, well done, Casper Rude! A little bit too casual in the end from Novak Djokovic, but what a get, and what wheels from the Norwegian.
Well, what wheels and what sang-froid in a moment of extreme pressure. Great court coverage, but also great clarity of thought.
Yeah, that was a great tweener from Casper Ruud, but didn't rest on his laurels, was there to get back to the redrop from Novak Djokovic, who again, as Gigi said, was quite casual. And how he put that back, and Casper keeps that point going.
Les deux joueurs sont prêts, s'il vous plaît, mesdames, messieurs.
Oh, 4-5, love 30. Never taken a set off Novak Djokovic. Now sun is bathing Philippe Chatrier, and Djokovic is saying, you're kidding me. Okay. It's a couple of breaks. He's got 10 seconds to get the ball away. Done a couple of practice ball tosses. Rude is waiting a long way back. The clock is, it's quite good for him. It's 4 seconds. Serve out wide. Forehands in, middle of the court. Forehand down the line. The cut, slice, drop short. And the drop shot from Djokovic as he slid towards the net. And he's on the board.
Better point from Djokovic all round. Sliding in with lots of assurance there. And Casper Ruud miles away.
So what time are we? 4:13 local time. We are an hour and 3 minutes into this final, and this is the first set. I remember one year I unwisely booked a Eurostar on a Sunday night.
Rookie error.
I may have got there with a minute to spare. 15:30 serve out wide, back and into the middle of the court, inside up four and into the corner. Tried to finish off up the line, Rude doesn't make it. It was covered by Djokovic, and it's 30-all.
And again, Djokovic is coming forward there, just trying to take control.
Hold on.
And also trying to shorten points, I think. I think that last game with Casper Ruud doing so well to dig in and prolong those rallies. If you're Novak Djokovic and you're seeing this sun beat down, which is not making things any more pleasant, conditions-wise for him, pleasant for us, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and we've got air conditioning.
Yeah, exactly. Big ups.
But is it leaking? Oh, Stefan's covered in tissue paper his machines, so we can have some cool air. 30-all. It's either going to be a set point or it is going to be a game point, and it's a second serve. Sigh from Djokovic, bouncing the ball with the face of the racket. Now he'll start with the left hand. Casperud every now and then sort of bends his knees if he's doing like a little half squat. Now he's on his toes. He'll come forward with the forehand, overhit it, game point.
That was a good serve from Djokovic. I think you have to credit Djokovic with that.
Yeah,
that
kicked out of the zone there for Casper.
Yeah, I just couldn't control the power sufficiently on the reply. He's so far behind the baseline, Casper Ruud. I know we keep making a point of this, but it is extraordinary.
Djokovic game point, serves out wide, the backhand's in play, stops inside the serve zone, the backhand down line, Djokovic is in the net, he draws the error, and he holds serve for five. Also an hour and 5 minutes, the end is not in sight as of yet, five games all.
I think Ruud has settled again. He had a little patch, didn't he, after losing that break of serve, where it almost seemed like there was a little voice in his head that was saying, you were 4-2 up. You were 4-2 up, and that's gone.
Yeah, and it's also just, you know, all of that, the crowd was absolutely roaring. I was walking up here. I could tell the score by what was happening up here. I was like, oh, there was the break. Should be tied up now.
And it was, and it is, and it started the 11th game. Sun is dipping away from the court side that Casper Ruud is in as Ruud nets on the inside out four and inside the baseline. Can't believe it.
Yeah,
a little bit of negative, you know, body language there from Ruud on those last couple of points. That missed forehand return off that very good second serve kind of put his racket between his hands like a praying motion to his head. Frustrated. And then now here, shoulder slumped a little bit after making that error.
There's a quote from someone talking about Pep Guardiola's speech to his team in the half-time at the Champions League final. He said to them, you're not losing. They're not winning. And that's what Ruud needs to think to himself now.
Backhand long from Djokovic, who sort of stares up to his bot. It sounds like Italian.
I think Italian. He alternates between Italian because a lot of a couple of his Italian. Team are Italian. His Italian is almost fluent, I think.
His
so
press people are Italian.
His manager Eduardo, yeah. And Yelena, his PR and press manager.
Served down the tee through the middle of the court, cut back, short ball. Oof! That was a delightful volley.
A clutch volley from Casper Ruud, who almost made a little bit of a mess on that approach, went directly down the middle. I think both players were a little bit stunned by where that ball was, and Novak Djokovic didn't put enough angle on it, but a lot of pace, Ruud able to put it away.
I think Gordon Eves is like, no, I don't understand Italian. I don't know what you're saying, so you just carry on.
You seem mad.
Yeah, you seem mad, but you know.
Don't be mad.
Don't be mad. It's a long way to go, potentially. Oof, off his shoelaces there. Casper is slightly off balance, played the off forehand onto the side edge of the sideline, and he brings up game points for 6-5 in the first.
It's quite a role reversal for Goran Ivanišević, isn't it? Because he was quite an explosive player in his heyday. He wasn't exactly a shrinking violet on the court. And now he just sort of has to sit there and look at his shoes slightly awkwardly.
Funny how it works out.
If it hadn't clipped the top of the net, it would have been an ace, and Casper Ruud was thinking, well, that's job done, and it's not. So he'll take three balls, stare at those balls, discard one, disguise another, bounce the one he's going to use. So he's fussy about his first ball, but on his second, he's having another go with the first here. Game points for 6-5. Serves and the backhand's in play down the line. The backhand is swept across court from Ruud. Ruud comes forward with the volley. Oh, he's done so well when he's come forward. He finishes off to 15. He knows the worst thing he's going to get in this set is a tie-break opportunity. And Djokovic is gesturing towards... He's gesturing towards...
He's complaining because he thinks the umpire is starting the shot clock to
the changeover clock as well.
When we come down okay, but that's not really since the beginning. Why? I don't know why it's been since the beginning. I mean, we're playing
1 hour, 10 minutes, one set.
Uh-huh.
Best of five Grand Slam on clay.
Yes.
You, I mean, your colleague Russia's goal scorer has 10 seconds left.
Novak, you can see that I'm really trying to understand it.
No, I understand, but the changeover. I'm talking about the changeover.
Yeah. There's no TV changeover, so that's all right.
This gives you a glimpse into how Djokovic is feeling and how he's feeling these conditions, because he thinks that changeover clock has started too early and he wants and he needs more time.
Yeah, we were having this discussion with Simon, I think, earlier this week about both of us being surprised that it was a one-minute changeover here. And, you know, most of the players on the tour, they're used to 90 seconds. And umpires have at times been starting that clock a little bit later, maybe 10 seconds after they call the score. Here, he's complaining to the chair umpire that he's starting it too quickly and forcing them to kind of have a very quick pit stop.
Yes, he said, why are you rushing? Why do we need to rush?
He said, we're playing five sets, Grand Slam final.
On clay.
On clay. So this is how Djokovic is feeling right now. This, again, highlights always is the importance of this first set and who gets this first set, because these conditions are tough. They are not going to get easier.
Well, and Courtney said, as Djokovic is trying to shorten the points, you don't want to be playing a player like Casper Ruud if you're trying to keep the points short.
5-6, serving to stay in the set for a second time, Novak Djokovic, to take us to a first set tiebreak. Hour and 10 minutes on the match clock. Sun is shining down on Philippe Chatrier. The ice towels have been put back in the freezer. And Djokovic is ready with a serve down the tee. The backhand spins in place, short ball, forehand heavy into the corner. Djokovic on the baseline, goes forehand cross court back behind the baseline. Obviously, is Casper Ruud. Djokovic still on the baseline. Djokovic runs around the backhand, but doesn't need to play the forehand.
15-0.
Well, the good news for Novak Djokovic at the moment, the clouds have started to move back over, so we're back under the overcast conditions from before, so he doesn't have to deal with the sun.
He does have to deal with the increased humidity, though.
You know, you win some, you lose some.
Well, that's really been the story of this first set for Novak.
Backhands in play. Djokovic comes inside the baseline with the inside end. Casper Ruud gets it. Forehand cross court. Ruud defends again. Inside out forehand is deep from Djokovic. Djokovic is just playing inside the baseline here, but the ball is going very deep from Ruud, so he's pushed him back, and now Ruud's inside the baseline. He goes back behind Djokovic, and he wins the point.
And if you're Casper Ruud, that is the perfect point against Novak Djokovic in the conditions, under the circumstances, prolonging that rally, being disciplined. But the minute that he got a ball that he could do something with, he makes the right decision. He takes that backhand down the line, wrong-footing Djokovic a bit.
Well, statistician Max has said, pretty sure this will be the longest ever opening set in the Roland Garros men's singles final in the Open era. The previous longest was Nadal against Puerta in 2005. It was an hour and 11 minutes as Djokovic aces down the tee, and the clock ticks over to an hour and 12 minutes.
Well done, Max.
That takes some doing, doesn't it, to go back through every first set of every Roland Garros final, men's final of the Open era.
That's why he's Max.
I just think some hobbies might be an idea.
Legos?
Lego? Golf?
East of Eden?
Inside him, inside the baseline, set up by the serve from Novak Djokovic. It looks like he's taking us to a first set tiebreak, brings up game points. Max doesn't have time because he's going through every opening set in the Open era of the men's singles final.
There can be one hobby and one hobby alone.
Points for the tiebreak and to extend the now longest ever opening set in a Roland Garros men's final. So down the tee, blocked back on the backhand side. Djokovic with the forehand goes off on. And Djokovic, they know the importance of this first set. Picked up by Djokovic, drops it over. Beautifully played. So we extended first set, but they both know if they can cross the finish line in this first set, that's a big mental, if not physical, advantage in this final.
I think it's huge. I think if Djokovic wins it, we know that he can be a very good front runner. He can be very ruthless. And you also know that his level of play can improve markedly.
Absolutely. And he also, the finish line just looks closer once he has that first set in pocket, and given kind of what he's been concerned about in this opening set, get the air, maybe there's physical niggles here or there, gosh, it's just going to make him just absolutely floor it.
It's incredible, isn't it? It'll make the finish line look close, and the finish line feels so long away at the moment. Casper Ruud with this first point in the first set tiebreak. Ruud runs in the back and goes inside into the forehand cross court. Cross court from Ruud sits a little bit short. The forehand on the service line from Djokovic. Djokovic double-handed backhand, cross court deep into the backhand of Ruud. Inside in from Djokovic. Forehand slapped cross court from Ruud. Slapped down the line from Djokovic! And he's got the early break, and he raises his fist aloft.
Of course, if Ruud wins this first set, if Djokovic has any slight physical issue or he is struggling with the conditions, suddenly there's that, I'm going to have to do this in four long sets, minimum.
Yeah, and it allows Casper to kind of go on lockdown a little bit. He has redlined in moments in this opening set. You can see him playing outside of himself, Casper Ruud, to stay with Djokovic. If it works and he can pocket a set, that buys him a little bit of a buffer.
The tiebreak record for Djokovic in 2023, he's won 14 and he's lost 4. For Casper Ruud, he's won 11 and lost 7. He's got the mini break. Serve and volley from Djokovic. It's a high ball to test Djokovic. Oh, it lands in. Djokovic lofts it back. It stops very short. It allows Casper Ruud to attack and come forward. Mini break Djokovic as things stand. Djokovic round the backhand. Plays the off forehand. The backhand with the spin on it sits up. He's hitting everything above shoulder height right now. And then Djokovic slams the forehand cross court. Drop shot from Ruud. Here comes Djokovic. Scoops up. He goes cross court. What's Ruud going to do? Goes back to Djokovic, who finds the court. And he consolidates the mini break. And once again, the fist is raised aloft.
Well, it's very easy to criticise from here, but that looks like the wrong shot selection, or at least the wrong position to place that volley. He went back to Djokovic. He had the whole line to play with.
Djokovic.
Yeah, and those are two back-breaking points that Novak Djokovic has just played, because Casper Ruud, you know, he was flooring that forehand in the first point and still gets burned by a Novak Djokovic slap forehand up the line. Here, he looked really in control, or at least neutral throughout that point, and then just one little, not even bad decision, but just the wrong placement of that dropper, and he gets burned again.
Aaron 16, Djokovic with the second of his 2 points at this stage. The forehand's in play. Djokovic flips it and switches it to the other side of the court. The backhand to the feet of Djokovic goes inside out. Djokovic retreats to the baseline. Hits a backhand cross court to the backhand of Ruud. The backhand of Djokovic going cross court. They continue this pattern. It's Ruud who changes. It goes inside in with the forehand onto the line. A high ball flipped up from Djokovic, middle of the court. Ruud takes his time, slams the forehand, and he misses. First 3 points have gone the way of the 22-time Grand Slam singles champion.
3-0.
And I think that is an example of him playing slightly out of his comfort zone, going for just too much on that forehand. I think he could see Novak Djokovic moving, felt he needed to make the perfect shot with the perfect amount of pace on, and just overhit it.
Absolutely, and this is what Novak Djokovic does. I mean, he's in a tiebreak. He knows how to exactly manage a 7-point tiebreak, and he knows which points are the most important. And what he's done here is really sent a message to Casper Ruud of just exactly what you have to do to win a point against me here. And as that pressure ramps up, Casper's buckling.
It's a mini break he's got at the moment. Ruud needs to win this. He does. It's the 1-2 punch off the wide serve and the inside-in winner. A little fist pump from the Norwegian.
Backs up Simon's point about there's no such thing about as an unforced error in a situation like that. When you're playing Novak Djokovic in a tiebreaker, in a Grand Slam final.
Totally agree with that.
1-3.
Let me go.
And sometimes that force is the force of personality as much as anything else, and the force of reputation.
Yes, you are playing the man, the myth, the legend. You know all about it when you step on this court.
Ruud winds himself up, tosses up the ball, serves out wide. That's very deep service. Redirects up line. Djokovic gets there. Ruud comes in for the volley, gets the volley. Djokovic scoops it up. The volley's into the net from Ruud. 4-1 lead now for Novak Djokovic.
And in a way, they're both playing the man, the myth, the legend.
Yes,
Djokovic is playing against his own history and his own desire to make history.
Casper Ruud now going to his box, having a long discussion.
He just went right into the corner of the court, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's just still kind of turning around and speaking to them, so He's not locked in here, but he has to be incredibly frustrated by those 4 points. Again, played a great point. Novak just played it perfectly.
4-1. Djokovic serves and misses out wide. Incredible to think that it's 4:30 in the afternoon, an hour and 20 minutes, and we have not yet finished the first set. Djokovic has finished bouncing. That's good news. Drops the ball short on the serve. The off forehand return. Rude with a double-handed backhand. He knew that was loose. He looks down at the strings of his racket. And as they change ends, it's a commanding 5-1 lead for Novak Djokovic in the first set.
That's 4 unforced errors by Casper Ruud in this tiebreak. And again, I use unforced errors in the non-Simon Cambers parlance because, you know, especially after the way that Novak won that first point of the breaker with that slapped forehand down the line, immediately Casper Ruud's like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to play outside of myself. And in so doing, as you said, Eleanor, a few just marginally not perfect decisions. Not necessarily wrong, but not perfect. And here we are. I mean, he, you know, lost that point where he banged a serve that looked absolutely would have been an ace against anybody else, and it came flying back to him at even greater pace. He's just getting beat. He's throwing his best at Novak Djokovic, and he's just getting everything back better.
He's so good at setting the tone, Djokovic. And it's what he didn't do at the start of this match, but he did it at the start of this tiebreaker.
5-1. Djokovic with the first serve. He aces for set points, and we talk about the legend that is Novak Djokovic. One of our tweeters has just said that Ben Rothenberg has identified Tom Brady in Djokovic's box. He's got a legend in the box, a legend on the court. Oh, we can see him now there, Tom Brady, looking at his sunglasses on, looking down.
Goats and goats.
Hour and 20.
He's a good golfer, isn't he?
Now.
He's got time.
He's working on it.
Set points. Ruud misses. The first serve, hour and 21. Djokovic takes this early with the backhand to the feet of the backhand of Ruud. Djokovic with set points here after an hour and 21 minutes. Backhand to the forehand, inside in from Ruud. Down the line goes Djokovic, pick up, floated ball from Ruud. Short ball, Djokovic attacks and he gets it. He came from a breakdown in that set. And comfortable in the conditions, but after an hour and 21 minutes, it's Novak Djokovic who comes through comfortably in the end on the tiebreak to close it out in the first set. I would not be surprised if both of these men now left the court, ice towels in hand. The cleaning of the court begins. The players will take a brief break from the court. We're set into the men's final. Hour and 21 minutes of tennis. Marcus is rejoining us. Eleanor and Courtney are staying. Well, that was a lot of fun, that first set. And now it's all about, does Ruud disappear and quietly go away, or can he reset himself and keep that fight going?
Yeah, you have to wonder what is going on in his mind. I really think that was a back-breaking tiebreak. It would have been one thing if he lost it 8-6. It would have been one thing if it was just a little bit closer, but it just, he blinked. And it wasn't, you know, a blink because he got nervous or because of the moment. It's because he's playing Novak Djokovic, and this is what Novak forces you to do at the biggest moments, is to come up with not just your best tennis. It's a level of tennis that you don't even play that often ever, and that's why those errors came.
Yeah, he forces you to be better than possibly you think you could be, and it was a spirit-breaking tiebreak. And I think we'll find out a lot about Casper Ruud perhaps in the early stages of the second set. If we see a big come down, if we see a flat start to the second set, I think that will answer Gigi's question.
Well, I will be listening to see how he responds, because I'm now leaving. He's been pacing around for a while. Courtney, he said, because he's wearing quite a tight shirt today.
We're muscle not sure. Top.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, sorry, it's a muscle top.
I did not
top.
Notice.
Oh, wow. Okay, muscle top. And we're not sure if he bought it that size or the baguettes have taken their toll over the last 15 days. But it was very sweaty after his walk-in, he said. So the sweater's gone, the muscle top remains. And I'll leave you with Mr. Muscle for set two.
Radio Rolling Girls After Dark all of a sudden. It's a little awkward.
At this rate, if it's now in 20 minutes a set, it might be dark by the end of this final.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Massage. Off you go to the parlour. That's been a long hour and 21 minutes. You deserve the full body treatment.
That's the most Gigi's worked all fortnight.
It is. Oh, she'll be sticky in overtime, don't you worry. But what a set of tennis. We heard the stat from Max. The longest ever first set. Did he set Roland Garros or at any Grand Slam?
I think in a Roland Garros final.
Yeah. In all probability,
that would make sense.
Means every slam, probably.
You would think so, really. The points being longer here historically, and particularly when you have conditions like this where it is so heavy and sultry. And Earl says, do you think Ruud suspects Djokovic might have a shoulder problem and that's why Casper has given him so many high bouncing ground strokes? I think he's just trying different things. Yeah. I'm not sure that he's thinking about what's going on with Novak Djokovic's body, because he's played him enough times to you know, not to worry too much about some of Novak's, you know, moments and movements, right, and moments of drama.
Yeah, and I think also it's, if Casper Ruud was taking in all of what has been going on with Novak Djokovic in that first set, I think he would have tried to buckle down and play longer points, you know, just from a strategic level, from a tactical level. And so it just really felt like Ruud was very much focused on himself and the game plan that he and his team put together to come out here, flatten out the forehand, hit it big, be as aggressive whenever you get the opportunity to. But ultimately, I mean, the stat numbers don't, there's not a ton of difference between the two in terms of pure numbers. 15 winners for both, 18 unforced errors for Novak, 17 for Casper Ruud. A little bit where you would criticize Ruud in the latter stages of that set is maybe his first serve percentage. It was starting to drop a lot. He was giving a lot of second serves to Djokovic to hit. And that's really where, I mean, best returner in the game, you do that, the scoreline is going to start to shift and the momentum will start to shift very, very quickly. But once, I think, Djokovic kind of got the motor running and kind of dieseled up, he was all ready to go, and that tiebreak was really a statement.
Oh, it certainly was. I mean, that running forehand to start things off with, and he just set the tone from that. And I wonder, Ellen, just the scar tissue. Let's remember that Ruud was 4-1 up, that unfortunate overhead that allowed Djokovic to break back at 3-4, and then he also got Novak to 4-5, love 30. Didn't necessarily do anything wrong after that, but so close to taking the first set, and now as he dusts himself down, he's got to, well, somehow win three of the next four.
He definitely had a dip, having lost his serve, lost that break of serve. You could see just the body language, as Courtney observed, got a little bit negative. He really just got down on himself just for a couple of points. He also missed a couple of volleys which were very makeable, and all of that whittles away at your self-confidence. But the main factor that whittles away at your self-confidence is the fact that you're playing a 22-time Grand Slam champion, someone who's, you know, playing in his seventh Roland Garros final, bidding for his third title. You know, all of that will also start to weigh heavily on you. And I think at the beginning, what we saw was perhaps that weighing a little bit heavily on Novak Djokovic. And suddenly it's very hot, and that's a concern. And you start worrying about all the external factors that you can't control. And actually, you know, you tend to get distracted. And we saw Djokovic going through that, I think, in the early stages. And then I think they almost exchanged and swapped. And you actually ended up with Ruud towards the end starting to worry and chattering to his box and starting to look, worrying about the shot, you know, just looking for all sorts of reasons why he was in the situation he was in, and he hadn't been able to hold that lead. And then I think Djokovic compounded that with those first couple of points of the tiebreaker. It was a real, like, bang bang.
Yeah, it was over.
I'm back.
Flash. Yes, for sure. And obviously you're going to be a little bit more persnickety when the scoreline isn't going your way and when you don't have the momentum. So early on, Novak, a little bit more persnickety, 1-4, 2-4 down, and through that, and then it became, yeah, Ruud going the mid tiebreak to go have a somewhat extended conversation with his box, it seemed like, was very odd.
Yeah, it was he went almost full Beatrice Haddad-Schmeier.
He did.
Didn't he? I'm going to have...
Full, yeah, the
let's
full
have
bazillion.
A 15-minute Microsoft Teams call here where we go through everything. We have an agenda. We discuss things in great detail. We're really open and honest with each other.
Is there a passcode? Can you put your camera on? You know, let's have it out. Yeah, he was all the way back there at the Rolex clock for a good 10 seconds.
Well, he's back on court. I think he's definitely changed his shoes because he was carrying a pair back onto court with him. And here comes Novak as well.
Max says Murray versus Djokovic in the 2012 US Open final, which I think was Murray's first Grand Slam final, actually. First set lasted an hour and 27 minutes.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that was Murray's, well, his first title, of course. He won in five sets, was two sets up. Djokovic hit back, won sets three and four. Murray went for a bathroom break, looked in the mirror, looked at himself and said, I'm going to do this. And he did.
Do you think that's what Casper Ruud might have done now? Could have done with something like that, couldn't he? Just a personal pep talk.
Yeah, and Casper is a tricky one because incredibly nice guy. And I hate the trope about too nice to win the big ones or to get, you know, does he have the dog in him, as we say in American sports? You know, does he have that fight? Does he have that extra edge? Can he summon self-confidence out of nothing? And there are other players in his generation on the ATP that have that ability to summon the confidence out of nowhere. He's been a gradual guy. He's kind of grown into himself. And so when it comes to what you were saying, Eleanor, about Novak Djokovic forcing you to play, or Marcus, like forcing you to play a level of tennis that you're not even sure you're actually capable of doing, forcing you to elevate, I think that causes Casper Ruud doubt, as opposed to maybe other players who would be like seeing that as a challenge. Okay, I'm going to step up and I'm going to hit big and I'm going to be aggressive.
Well, here we go. We're set number two. Hour and 30 minutes on the clock after that delay following the hour and 20 plus minutes of the first set. Djokovic has missed with his first serve. There are a couple of alarming statistics for Casper Ruud fans, one of which we knew before the start of the match. He'd never taken a set off Djokovic in their previous encounters. Forehand return across court from the Norwegian onto the forehand of Djokovic. There's a high backhand down the middle of the court from Ruud. Now goes with his inside-out forehand. Slice back into play by Djokovic. In comes Ruud, and he can't get to the low, dipping ball that Djokovic had sent cunningly in his direction.
And do you think that kind of emotional journey that you have to go on, or that Casper Ruud has to go on, is tougher for a player who is essentially much more of a counterpuncher, doesn't have the giant weapons?
Yes, absolutely. Because what's going to happen is when you have that and you have to flip a switch and play a style that is truly not your base style, all the doubts come because you're not confident that you can pull it off, and also the mistakes come, and next thing you know, you've lost a set 6-1 experimenting with a new game, you know, effectively.
Well, a big serve from Djokovic. The ball was blocked back into his territory, as it were. Then he decided to go back at Ruud, which initially seemed a little bit strange. The ball bounced awkwardly, and Ruud was left to rue that because he was in position to capitalise as Djokovic came forward. But the first 2 points of the second set have gone the way of the man who will be world number one again for the first time since early May if he wins this match. And a whole host of other riches will come his way as well. And he pushes Ruud deep behind his baseline. The Norwegian leaks another error, and Djokovic quickly goes to 40 love. The other stat I was going to mention, aside from the fact that Ruud has never taken a set off Djokovic, he's also never beaten a top three player after losing the opening set. He is 0-9 in that regard. And that's an ace from Djokovic. Wide to the backhand of his right-handed opponent. And what a confident start to set number two, having crucially survived some awkward moments in the first set to win it emphatically in a tiebreak. I want to ask you about one word you've used twice today, Courtney. I've not heard it, but I love it. Persnickety.
Is that not a British word?
No.
Oh, I thought that we took it from you guys.
Is it an American word, or is it actually a Courtney word?
No, it's definitely not a Courtney word. Persnickety, it just means a little edgy, a little snippy.
Like antsy?
Antsy, not so much. Antsy is a little bit more kind of implies me more of an energy thing, like a little fidgety.
Okay.
But persnickety is edgy. Like if you're in a bad mood and somebody says something to you and you kind of snap back at them for no reason.
Right.
Oh, you're a bit persnickety today.
Okay.
That's all.
We've learned something, Lady E.
We have. Every day is another day at school at Radio Roland Garros.
The more you know.
Often things that won't help us a great deal, but are interesting nonetheless. Right, Casper, what can you come up with on your first service game in his second set? Well, he's onto his forehand, clipping it to the forehand side of Djokovic, who put plenty of oomph onto that. So too did Casper. His double-hander goes into Djokovic's backhand corner. He goes the same way again as Ruud, but he overhits. Djokovic has won the first 5 points of this second set.
Update on Alex Kurecha watch. one of Radio Roland Garros's favourite hobbies.
Yes.
He's gone.
What?
He's gone.
Already?
I know.
Did he get a memo that we're unaware of?
It's so difficult to keep track of him now he's slipped the ankle bracelet.
Beep, beep, beep.
Love 15, first serve to the forehand of Djokovic. Great return from Djokovic. Bit of a miss hit from Casper. And in comes Novak and hammers away a mid-court ball.
0-30.
We said there might be a dip. Is that what we're seeing here?
Well, it's very early to say this, but at the moment, the golden set's on.
That is very... You've gone very, very early, Marcus.
I've got to say it early because, Marcus, of course, it's not going to happen, but how clever would I be if I said it after 6 points?
You wanted to call it.
Rube is going out wide there to the Djokovic forehand. You heard a rather barking shout of out. Very vocal, these line judges. There's one line judge, I'm not sure if he's on duty today, who sounds like he's being strangled as he reveals his call. There's a female line judge who's got quite a high pitch but most effective sound. As Ruud goes to the forehand again of Djokovic, who's returning down the middle of the court. He's got a shortish ball to put onto Ruud's backhand side. Now he clubs another one to the Norwegian's forehand low just over the net from Ruud, who changes the angle to the Djokovic backhand. It's backhand to backhand, short angle from Ruud, who's now got a shorter forehand, and he finds the line. Forget that golden set.
Look what you did.
I was just going to say, that's a very small window in which you were... Right-ish.
He felt like Casper needed a little bit of help, so, you know, give him the commentator's curse.
Absolutely why I did it. For the sake of all Norwegians.
For the sake of competition.
Yes. But still work to be done in this service game for Ruud at 15:30. And he puts his first serve into the net. He's got his back to us. We're on the fifth floor of what we call the broadcast stand. It's not just a broadcasting stand, but there are an awful lot of studios and booths for various international television and radio operators to perform, and that's a terrific wit forehand return winner from Djokovic.
To me, that's a worrying sign if you're a Casper Ruud fan, or if indeed if you're Casper Ruud.
Even more so. Yeah, Ruud really struggling to find that first serve. He's well under 50% for the match, 25% in this game.
Two break points for Djokovic, and the forehand's straight back at Ruud, who goes back behind Djokovic, forehand cross court. That's better.
Djokovic again, as we've seen a couple of times, just flexing the legs.
Well, and that's another reason I suspect that Ruud is going to look back with great regret about what happened in that first set. I do think if he'd won it, for all sorts of reasons, we would have been in for a terrific final, from a neutral perspective at least. As Ruud serves to the backhand, is a high return from Djokovic. Ruud back pedals, plays an inside out forehand. Another very high ball from Djokovic is forcing Ruud even further back. Now he tries to come forward, hits a big forehand down the line. Djokovic goes cross court on his forehand and just misses.
Alex Krejci's back, by the way, in case you were worried.
So far,
I've gone a bit early with the golden set. You've gone a bit early by suggesting that Alex Krejci was already heading back to Spain.
I just said he left the booth.
And don't Courtney's just being persnickety.
I was waiting for it.
Two break points saved. Ruud at deuce. Clips the top of the tape. It is overcast again. There are a few patches of blue sky. I know you've all been talking about the oppressive conditions. Really has been as humid as I can ever recall, certainly in Paris. It's reminiscent of New York during the Open. Miami. It's a long first serve. In fact, in Miami last year, I do recall having to destroy a shirt midway through an afternoon. It got that unpleasant.
Miami and Melbourne, yep. I think, are the toughest ones for me.
It's another really good forehand cross-court return from Djokovic, who comes in behind a high ball. We know both players have struggled with high balls, but Djokovic got that one right. And creates another break point. I upset Tim Henman in Miami that day because I took off the shirt, I chucked it in the bin, and I sat for a little while. It was quite a private booth, topless. And Tim, being the British gentleman, was not impressed. I said, this is what we should be allowed to do at Wimbledon. You can imagine his reaction to that.
Topless commentary.
Yeah.
I can just hear the broadcast meeting now.
Buckland, you're banned. Suggestion is most offensive. Second serve, backhand reply from Djokovic onto the backhand of Ruud. Now Djokovic is going to go cross court on the forehand, which has done him very well at the start of his second set. Ruud negates that and then watches, probably with a little bit of surprise as much as relief, as Djokovic goes long.
And again, the chit chat and the frustration directed towards his team.
It's just his first unforced error, I think, of this set. He's been absolutely clinical, so.
Well, if Ruud could get out of this service game, it would be a huge boost for him after the way that Djokovic began this second set. And a big forcing forehand from Ruud. He's there again, going down the middle of the court. Djokovic takes the pace off the ball on his backhand side, now drives a backhand to the Ruud forehand side, cross court to the slice backhand of Ruud. Djokovic goes over on his backhand. Ruud forces his forehand again, looking to go to the Djokovic backhand, but he's made room for himself for the inside out forehand. The slice backhand down the line from Ruud, cross court on the forehand from Djokovic, cross court on the forehand from Ruud. He's having a struggle. He's got a slice back into play again. Djokovic is dominating now, and he wins the point with another huge forehand winner.
He was wrong-footing Ruud there, wasn't he? And Ruud almost, I mean, he never gives up, but because he was facing the wrong way, it was almost as if, well, that's a winner.
Yeah, he's well out of position, Casper Ruud. And, you know, well done to Novak Djokovic with the smart, taking that flat forehand cross-court, taking it down the line with a big target. Didn't go back cross-court, which I think a little bit was what Casper Ruud was waiting for. And then from there, just opening up the space.
So another break point in this opening Ruud game at the start of the second set. And he serves to the backhand. Now that almost looks as though he slipped it a little bit as he returned that. Now he's put up a high ball on his backhand side. It's just into Ruud's forehand corner. Ruud's now slicing on his backhand. Djokovic is coming forward, driving a backhand cross court to the slice backhand again of Ruud. It's slice after slice. Ruud's come forward. Is he going to get past? Up goes the lob. Ruud doesn't really put away the overhead. He's having to rush back again on the half volley. He's stretching and he's netting. And Novak Djokovic has broken. There is no letting up from him.
He's pointing his finger repeatedly at his temple, as if to say it's all about the mind, all about conquering the thoughts, making sure that the negative thoughts are banished.
And in a lot of ways, that has been the story of Novak Djokovic's career. After the early stages, after he won his first Australian Open, and all of the questions about his physicality, about his serve, about all of these sorts of things, he just spent years just buckling in, getting the physical side sorted, and then just mentally, I think, turned into just a mental giant in terms of how he handles these situations, how he manufactures that ability to withstand it, seemingly out of nothing.
It's the surges that he puts on in matches.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes him so dangerous and difficult to play. Because you think you might have an opportunity, and then he surges at you, and that's exactly what we saw in the first set.
And I've always thought that Novak Djokovic, no one's a better match manager than Novak Djokovic. He almost is reading the narrative of the match and deciding how he wants to write it, you know? And he knows when to surge, he knows when to pull back, he knows when not to panic, you know, when he's in third gear instead of fifth gear, and when to kick it up. And it's fascinating to watch.
Well, he's made a surging start to this latest game. He began with his fifth ace of the contest, and now he's come up with a terrific serve down the middle, and the forehand return from Ruud is long. But as long as the first set was, there's a real danger for Casper Ruud that this could be over in the blink of an eye. And of course, he did lose the third set of the final last year to Rafa without getting his name on the board. Another ace from Djokovic. He can do no wrong at the moment.
Novak Djokovic is serving at 80% first serves in a Grand Slam final.
It's not bad, is it?
No, I mean, I think you do a lot of terrible things in order to get that 80% if you could have it. That's incredible, and it's what you need to do.
Yeah, and he's not serving, you know, he's not serving up pies, is he? He's not just dropping it in.
No, absolutely not. Already six aces, as Marcus said.
Second serve here. It's deep right onto the service line, and he clubs. Oh, no, he got that wrong. He was sort of out of position. And that forehand from Djokovic flew beyond the Ruud baseline. A lot of you are writing in to ask if it is Tom Brady in the Djokovic box. I believe that has been confirmed.
We have our US correspondents with us.
The GOAT, who has this time retired for good, I think.
You mean Tom Brady, not Courtney?
Courtney's going to go on forever and ever. It's another terrific first serve from Djokovic, and he's going to come in and play a very tight, angled backhand drop shot with Rude absolutely stranded behind his baseline. So two very comfortable holds of serve for Novak Djokovic. The break sandwiched in between those, and that is why Courtney and Eleanor, the man who could be world number one again tomorrow for a 388th week, is a set and three love up.
And this is a man who could be world number one despite having missed two of the biggest tour events of the year. Didn't play in Indian Wells, didn't play in Miami, and yet is about to, by the looks of it, return to the number one ranking.
Yeah, and he's just, anytime he does show up, I mean, he makes a statement. I mean, he shows that he's been, you know, just kind of chomping at the bit, waiting to be let out of the gate to play. And, you know, it's an interesting thing with Novak Djokovic. It reminds me sometimes of years past with Serena Williams when she played, you know, more of a limited schedule. And so the tour obviously carries on without you. So if, for whatever reason, if you're not playing certain tournaments, there is another champion. The storylines bubble up. New champions are minted, et cetera, et cetera. And then you go into these majors where you do get the full field and Serena's playing. And then Serena jumps in and says, no, I'm still the queen bee, actually. Like, you guys can go win all your other tournaments. It's fine. I'm resting and doing whatever I need to do, but actually it's me. I am her. I am that person. And Novak Djokovic has the ability to do the exact same thing. I mean, all the greats do. I mean, Rafa Nadal, when he played more, you know, for physical reasons, playing limited schedules, could drop in and obviously dominate this tournament with little lead-up sometimes. So it's remarkable, but it's tough, right? I mean, this whole season has been about Carlos Alcaraz and Daniil Medvedev now learned how to play on clay and all of these different, you know, storylines. And then Novak parachutes in and reminds everyone that he's still that guy.
He is extraordinary. There's no doubt about that. And here's Rude serving at love three. Forehand reply from Djokovic, who's onto that forehand again with plenty of depth. Shorter ball for him to try and attack. So he took a bit off that, decides to go down the middle of the court to the backhand side of Rude. Makes room for himself now, Novak on the forehand side. And then watches and can do nothing as Rude's return shot clips the top of the tape and just bounces into Djokovic territory.
Precious little has gone Casper Ruud's way in this second set. That should make him feel slightly better.
Relax the shoulders a little bit.
Thank you for all your tweets and your emails. Come finals weekend, we don't have a chance to get through as many of them because, of course, we're focusing on the action as Djokovic returns on his backhand side and guides one to the Rude forehand cross-court again from Djokovic. It's an effortless winner. It's just too good.
It's too good, and it was literally right at Casper Ruud. I mean, he was only about a meter and a half away from it, and he still didn't make a move to make a play on that ball. And that speaks to the quality of Novak Djokovic's shot, but also a little bit, again, with the focus from Casper Ruud.
Yeah, maybe a bit of a blur in the back of the Ruud mind at the moment. What is happening here? What should I do? This, that, and the other. He was talking to his box a little earlier. That's a bit un-Ruud like this. Well, it's another Ruud awakening, I'm afraid, for him in a Grand Slam final. Forehand reply from Djokovic, good angle on the forehand side, down the line from Ruud. Djokovic, seeing him come in, tries to pass cross-court and almost does so.
Wasn't far away, was it?
Casper Ruud knew it too. He didn't come into the net quick enough. He was caught a little bit too far from the net, giving Novak Djokovic a little bit too much angle there.
A lot of love being shown for the word persnickety, which Courtney, of course, has introduced us to and will now use on a regular basis.
It's my word.
During the Wimbledon coverage, I'm going to make sure it's used every day. Backhand returns into the net from Novak Djokovic. Howard's been in touch from Milwaukee. Rain, 50 degrees here, just like October. Yuck. Says, stickety, fussy, grumpy, whatever you like. Great commentary. Says, interesting to listen to the increasing presence of female broadcasters over the years. Another barrier broken. Great job. Keep breaking down the ceilings in every way, everywhere. Forehand return is long from Djokovic. And Casper is on the board in the second set. But he's still in trouble because Djokovic leads by three games to one.
Richard said snippy is a term my American ex used to use. Is this what Courtney means?
Yes, persnickety is snippy. You know, being short with someone, constantly being short with somebody, but snippy is right.
A bit like the Empress is to us most days.
Well, I was just going to say, it's standard, isn't it?
Her standard. Very short and blunt, like, yeah. Text messages, it's just, it, you know...
I mean, I actually think the Empress persnickety has got a ring to it.
Gigi the persnickety. That's her Game of Thrones name.
Yeah, but she claims to be listening, but, you know, that...
We better hope she isn't.
That lift music in the massage parlor will be blocking us out.